Wonderful. Well, in history, as you look back, there's been many, many tragic events that have been recorded. Seems like that's when you study history, it's all about studying the tragic events that occurred. But there's an event that happened a long time ago that perhaps was the most tragic of all things. And I'd like for you to go to Genesis chapter 3. And that tragic event was the fall of man. God created man in His own image. He formed man of the dust. He gave him soul life. And He wanted and desired a fellowship with His man, with His woman. But what did man do? He disobeyed God and lost that spiritual connection. What a tragic event that was. Very tragic for God. But God, in His love and care and desire for fellowship, put in place something to regain that connection. Now, God could have sent some kind of a holy man, some special person, maybe even an angel, to try to fix things. But you know what God did to fix things? He had a son that would come and redeem mankind. That's how He did it. We see this promise in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee," and this is God speaking in reference to Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, the English Standard Version and other translations as well, instead of the word seed, it has offspring, between thy offspring and her offspring. So there would be a child involved, and it would be born of a woman. And this son would make it available for God to have fellowship again. And that man, we know, that son was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a son He was to His loving Heavenly Father. You know, when you look at the traits, the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the list goes on and on and on. Very compassionate, loving, caring, forgiving, on and on and on. I think there's some 20 characteristics or titles or names of Jesus Christ reflecting these many traits and qualities that He had. Phenomenal. And so we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God today. And we're going to learn about Him. And there's two main points I want to highlight in regard to looking at Jesus Christ. And first of all, I want us to fully recognize the reality of who He is as the Son of God. Who He is as the Son of God. And this is going to help us, because obviously any information I share with you, I just don't want it to be some kind of a information knowledge type sharing. I want something that you can have and take and learn that you can plug into your life and then benefit you. Something that will benefit you. This is going to benefit you to recognize that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. Number two, there's a aspect of His life, Jeannie alluded to it, that we're going to look at as well. And if we could follow suit with the Lord Jesus Christ and how He did this particular thing, we will benefit greatly as well. Well, let's go to Luke, if you would, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and in the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, now hold on to this, because think about this. If you were a woman, first of all, if some angel came in, how would you be feeling? Would it be a little knee knocking or something? Pretty wild. But now watch what this angel is going to say, and what kind of response would you have, ladies and men? Try to put yourself in their little shoes. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Whoa. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a son. Verse 32 says, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Joseph, or Jacob, forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this is Mary's response to this. I mean, I don't, if I was a woman and somebody said I was going to be pregnant, especially an angel, I don't know what I would be thinking. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew what it took to get pregnant. And here, this angel was telling her, not only are you going to be pregnant, but you're going to have a son. And not only that, it's going to be a son that he will reign forever. Wow. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You're going to have the Son of God. Wow. Ladies, what would be your response to such a thing? Wow. I don't know about this. The Son of God. Unbelievable. Well, let's see what her response was. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now she recognized that there was a miracle that took place with her, that she would be pregnant at her old age, and she was barren, never had a child, and yet, lo and behold, she had a child. Who was that child? John the Baptist. Man, oh man. Now verse 37, For with God nothing shall be what? Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. And what do you think Mary said to this? I mean, I don't know. If I was her, I would have said, man, oh man, how are you going to do that? I don't know if I can handle this. I mean, I'm just going to get married here pretty soon. I've got a husband to be, and we're almost married, and oh my golly, can this really happen? How did she respond? And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. She literally believed that angel that she would have the Son of God. She believed it. Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Bring it on. And she had the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 40. Jeannie was talking about this a little bit earlier, Well, Mary had the child. His name was Jesus. And that child grew, and she had to take care of that child. She had to change diapers and do the whole nine yards. You know, it wasn't like, here's the Son of God, and so he was like perfect little baby and never had baby needs. It was a child and had all the needs that every child has. So she lovingly brought up that child, and hopefully Joseph, and had brothers and sisters as well, had a great family. Well, verse 40 here in chapter 2, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. You know, he stayed behind. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, that he was hanging out with Uncle Joe or, you know, Cousin Mary or somebody. But went a day's journey and they sought him. You know, they're gone for about a day and they're wondering, where is Jesus? Where is that little fella? Where's he gone? Who's he with? Well, they didn't find him, and they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Took 3 days to find him. I don't know if, you know, that was the last place they looked, the temple, or what. But that's where they found him, in the temple. And what was going on there in the temple? And it came to pass, after 3 days, found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. And these are the learned men, the great learned men of that time, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was blowing their minds. A 12-year-old child was just blowing the minds of these doctors, PhDs. Amazing. Well, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Okay, who's his father's business? Was he a carpenter? Was that his father? Joseph? No. God Almighty, 12 years old, at some point, somehow, this young child was a regular little fella, okay, little kid, but he learned that he was the Son of God. Wow! And he was taking action as a Son of God, even at 12 years of age. He was talking to the learned ones. He was at the temple. That's where God's supposed to be, right? That's where people are to fellowship, in the temple. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was the Son of God at 12 years of age. And he acted accordingly. This is a great point here. Okay, well, what kind of action did he have? What did he do? What was it that some of the great things that he did that stood out as a Son of God? Let's go to John chapter 4. Why was he so successful as the Son of God? John chapter 4. Verse 27. John 4:27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. This is a story of Jesus at the well with this woman. And of course, during those times, this was not the thing to do. The custom was not to talk to people, especially a woman. You just don't do this. Well, they were at the well, and actually, because they were, you know, she was getting water, this was an open door for him to talk to her. He was the only one there along with her. And the disciples came back and they marveled, verse 27, that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "Why, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, do you remember the story of what happened here? He was with this woman at the well, and he told her she was married a few times, right? And really blessed her big time. Big time. "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh those to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him shall or must worship him in spirit and in truth." He's taught this to her. She was excited. The Son of God was speaking to her. She saw that it was the Christ. So she went back to town to get a bunch of folks to come out and see him. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed to him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What was his, what was his complete committed desire, Jesus Christ? To do the will of God. To do the will of God and finish the work that God called him to do. That's what drove him. Here's the Son of God, and the will of God was his meat. To do exactly what God would have him to do. Wow. Quite an example. Quite an example. Let's go to John chapter 5 here. We're going to see a characteristic here of the Son of God that we can learn from. John 5, verse 30. "I can of my own self," Jesus Christ talking here, "I can of my own self do nothing." Man, oh man, if anybody could do anything, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is where his head was at. "I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, not what I will to do, but the will of the Father that sent me." He was dedicated to do not his will. Maybe he liked sports. Maybe he was tall and could have been a great basketball player. Yeah. For the Jerusalem Jazz team, right? Man, oh man, he could, I bet, with that kind of desire, "Come on, let me play some ball, God." Or, "Hey, I love stamps, God, and I want to do a stamp collection." Or a coin collection. All these different things that could be in the mind of a person to desire and will to do. Not Jesus, not the Son of God. He was dedicated, he was convinced the only thing that mattered was to do the will of God. Wow. Talk about focused, huh? Woo-hoo. Unbelievable. John chapter 6, verse 37. John 6, 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So we see something here, a little characteristic of Jesus Christ, wanting to do the will of God and nothing else. I guess he didn't have any hobbies or anything else. I don't know. But he really locked into doing the will of God, huh? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, now I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3, please. We're going to put some things together here. 1 John chapter 3. We've seen that the Son of God, Well, let me say this. We saw that Jesus Christ, a guy named Jesus Christ, born of Mary, recognized that he was the Son of God. Just he was totally convinced. And his manner of living was to do the will of God. That was his meat. That's all he would do, is the will of God. That was his key thing. Now, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wait a minute here. You mean I can be called a son of God? I could be of such a nature that I'm a son of God? God's love made that available for me to be a son of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Knew him not? Wow. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are sons of God now? You and me? Born again of God's Spirit? Let's go to Romans. Wait a minute here. Me, a son of God? Now, wait a minute. You mean God's my Father, and I'm really a son of God? Chapter 8 in Romans. Let's look at a couple verses here.
We're jumping right in the middle here. Verse 12, 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Now, if anybody in here is led by the Spirit, anybody in here led by the Spirit? Okay, I see a lot of hands out there. You are sons of God. You are sons of God. My goodness. Are you getting this? You're a son of God. Jesus Christ was a son of God, wasn't he? I'm like Jesus Christ, you mean? He is like my brother? You mean I get a little bit of the inheritance too, maybe? Do I get a little bit of that too? Well, what's the word say here? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, should be sonship, is the proper translation, whereby we cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. I mean, I'm not going to call anybody daddy unless they're really my father, am I? And yet I can call God daddy, daddy, because he is truly my father and I'm his son. Whoa! The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. How can your spirit bear witness? Manifestation's the only thing you can see in the senses realm of the spiritual realities. Speaking in tongues is a great manifestation of the Spirit, isn't it? If you speak in tongues, you got the Spirit in you, right? If you got the Spirit in you, you are a son of God. And you ladies, you're daughters of God. You get it, don't you? Same thing. Same thing. Now look at this next verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Whoa! If so be that we suffer with him, yes, we did. We experienced it. We died with him. We were raised from the dead with him. The whole nine yards. We experienced fully with him. We identify completely with Jesus Christ, that we may be glorified together. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're sons of God. Wow. Do you get that? Man, so How can I act then? Well, I can act like Jesus Christ did. Now, what did Jesus Christ do? He always did the will of the Father, didn't he? Not a bad idea. 2 Timothy. You see, the one great point I want you to see here, there's two points. The first one is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You got that one? The next one is, you are too if you're born again. Do you got that point? We're sons of God, and that should make you feel pretty good. Wow, just tremendous. A son of God. Me? Yes. All right, where were we? 2 Timothy 1, chapter 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. It was God's own purpose and grace. He purposed you to be born again, saved, and called with the holy calling, which was given us in Christ Jesus before, or better translation, since the world began. At some point, God knew something would happen along these lines, that you and I would be born again of God's Spirit. We would be His kids. He had a vision of more than just one son. He had a vision of family. You and I. Wow. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news of God's Word. Wow. What a connection we have as sons of God, huh? As sons of God. Let's go to 2 Peter, please. A few more verses here. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall or stumble, is another translation. See? Give diligence to make your calling. What have you been called? You've been son of God. You're called a son of God. The encouragement here is to make your calling and election sure, steadfast, so that we never fall or stumble. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You see, we want to fully recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you, as a born-again one, you are a son of God as well. And that our lifestyle would be like His lifestyle. And that we would go to the Father and do His will. What is your will for me, Father? You know, God's will is His word, isn't it? That's what we want to do. We want to know what God's will is for us. Now, God wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we know that He wants everybody born again, and He wants them to have a knowledge of the truth. If you incorporate that into your life, help people get born again and help them with the Word of God. Are you doing the will of God? Yeah. So is that a good thing to do? Yeah. Yeah, a great thing to do. And God will work within you, within the family, to do things that are so needful to happen in the family of God. That's doing the will of God. Talking with the Father. Okay, He's my dad. Let's talk to the Father. What do you want me to do, Father? What's your will for me? You know what? He's going to tell you. If you asked your natural father, he has a business, he'll tell you. He'll tell you what to do. So we want to go to our spiritual father and see what he would have us to do. Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of God."
When he was 12 years old, what did he say? About the business, my father's business. And that's what we want to really focus, because we're sons of God. I know you're something else. You know, we're flesh people. You know, we've got families and we've got married, not married, children, all kinds of situations going on. But man, the greatest thing you got going is that you're a son of God. And God's got a wonderful will for us to live together as a family and individually within the family. The encouragement here is so tremendous in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and accepted and perfect, what?
Will of God.
See? This should be something we really lock into, these two verses here, right? Renew our mind so that our main focus is to do the will of God. To do our Son of God trip. We're going to close out in 1 John. I see we got our children here. So this is going to be great. Jeannie's and Leslie's put together some beautiful flowers for our mothers, and we want to do that here after we finish. So 1 John chapter 2. Looking at doing the will of God, I was real blessed Wednesday night. Al actually shared this as a subject in our fellowship. And when he shared that, it kind of, wow, because it's something I was thinking about. And it really confirmed to me some things that blessed my heart. So thank you, Al, and for walking with the Father on that one. Okay. Same spirit. Yeah. We're all different, but we all have the same spirit. Amen. And that's what makes life so exciting, working together like that. Wow. This section is phenomenal here. 1 John 2:15. Again, we're jumping right into the middle of the context here. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Okay. Neither the things that are in the world. Now, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what happens? Passes away, and the lust thereof, that's going to be gone too. But he that doeth the will of God abideth, how long?
Forever.
So ladies and gentlemen, fellow sons of God, daughters of God, let's recognize who we really are, sons of God. We want to live the rest of our lives as sons of God, doing what? Doing the will of God, man. Doing the will of God. Man, life is going to be exciting. All this world stuff, it's going to be nothing. It's going to be toast. But what we do as sons of God doing His will abide forever, huh? All right. So I want to close with prayer and then have Jeannie come back up here. Heavenly Father, thank you very, very much that we can be sons of God. Thank you for making this so richly available, that we could really, really be born again, have incorruptible seed, the whole nine yards, Father, be a son of God like Jesus Christ. So thank you for your word, that we can learn it and do the will of God that you've called us to do, Father. Thank you for the privilege that we can serve and bless each other and live the love of God that you've shed abroad in our hearts. So thank you for this wonderful gathering of saints here and for their heart's desire to be their best for you. And Father, continue to forgive us and continue to help us and guide us and direct us so that truly we can do your will and that truly we can see your word move around the world and that soon your Son, our brother Jesus Christ, will come back for us. So we love you, Father, and thank you for all of this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Do the children have something?